Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
That's when their back's up against the wall.
No doubt about that, and especially on the road, right? I think I tweeted something to the similar effect after the game. I don't want to be like those, you know, Big Ten or ACC or Big 12 fans that kind of discredited those close SEC wins. No, I was extremely impressed that Indiana found a way to win that ball game. I was extremely impressed even more with Oregon. You know,
that throw from Dante Moore, bro. Oh, my gosh.
But in a rainy environment.
What was that?
Iowa with that scrappy team, finding a way. They had, before that drive, Dante Moore had 70 yards passing. And then found a way to come back and lead that game-winning drive. That's the stuff that makes champions. I don't think people remember Nick Saban's prime Alabama team. They needed a blocked field goal to be a 5-4 Tennessee team at the end of the year. They squeaked by some very bad teams in Mississippi State in prime Saban era. So it's hard to win these games week in and week out, especially when you're getting everybody's best effort. So hats off to them, because nobody's going to remember how close the game was. They're just going to remember that you won the game.
Yeah, and I was debating what I appreciated more from that Dante Moore throw, the throw itself or the arrogance it took to make the throw. I think I've landed on the arrogance. Like that, there was nothing to look at there besides it being a one-on-one. You know, like, I can't believe you. I cannot believe in that situation you can let go of that ball and be pinpoint like that. That's insane. Insane. Is he still your QB1?
I haven't really thought about it until you said that, but I will say no. I was going to be Tyson that has worked his way up into that position from the last time we spoke, but I prefer Dante Moore over Mendoza, because I think, as opposed to Mendoza and Todd, I think Dante Moore still has another couple of levels to rise if we're talking about upside, and the floor is already so high. But, yeah, I love Dante, and he could play his way back into that top position, in my opinion.
For sure. Well, Kyle, I'll let you roll, man. Great stuff as always.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir. He is Kyron Samuels, at Kyron Samuels on X, National Scout for Clutch Sports. He is a writer and analyst for NFL and college football matters at Sports Illustrated, and, of course, former all-conference offensive lineman at Jacksonville State. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, Jeff Calkins joins Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jeff Calkins is a columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 every single weekday right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. He is on X, conveniently, at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good, Gabe. It's a beautiful night out here. All is well.
Yeah, are you mourning the loss of the American penny? Not Penny Hardaway, not Penny Wise. The American penny is no longer being produced. Are you mourning the loss of it?
No, not so much. I was trying to think about the – oh, my God. Someone is driving down – what am I driving? A park. He's riding on his bike towards me on Park. I'm right now heading west on Park, okay, past Overton – past Ottoman Park, right?
Yep.
And a guy is on the right on a bike pedaling toward me.
That's a trusting individual.
Whatever. And then he has – he's holding a napkin in his right hand and swinging it above his head as if instead of lights – like he's got this white napkin that he's sort of like, anyway, so that was striking. No, I was trying to think the last time I actually spent a penny. You know, like you can probably remember times when if something costs, you know, $5.06, you wanted to give them a penny just so you wouldn't get 4 pennies back, right?
Yep.
Like that was so that's the only circumstance really where I ever – but even then, I don't think I've spent a penny in the last 5 years. I don't think I've ever said, oh, here, let me get this exact. You know, they really have, because, A, we're cashless pretty much now as a society. It feels like it totally, I hate to say it, I support the death of a penny. How about you? When did you last spend a penny?
Oh, I can't remember. I honestly...
Did you ever?
When I was a kid, maybe. Buying candy at the store or something. But nothing was ever even close
right
to
now?
Worth a penny. Oh, say it again?
No, nothing. But it never.
I probably have pennies laying around my car. Probably.
Even in my life, nothing really has been worth a penny. But pennies are useful, you know, whatever, because if there's a, you know, whatever percent tax, like lots of amounts used to come out to 576 or to 932 or to whatever. And then, so then I would still use pennies for that purpose. I use pennies honestly.
You know what I do now? I just tap the screen with my card.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I used to use pennies purely defensively as a way to not get more pennies, right? That's the way that I went when I was a cat, when I actually paid in cash.
You tell them, wait a second, and you dig into your pockets.
Hold on. Yeah, I don't want pennies, so let me give you one of my pennies, which will prevent me from getting more pennies, right? But now, you're exactly right. I just tap a card, and so who needs a penny?
Yeah.
And the thing is, the nickel is next. You going to miss the nickel?
I don't know. I don't know. I think you will more. You know?
I don't know.
You're from the day and age where you could buy some things with a nickel.
Yeah, but I don't ever spend. I literally never spend cash anymore. Now the times I used to spend cash, but this was pre Venmo. You used to have cash for service people, right? For people who helped you, like if they some babysitters you used to pay cash before Venmo. I never had cash, you know, whatever. You could still use your card at Kroger or whatever. But if you were paying a babysitter or, you know, maybe someone to cut your lawn or to dog sit or whatever, then you were paying actual cash. And so I used to pay actual cash. But now that Venmo exists, even those people don't get cash, I bet. I bet those people get Venmo. So really, we're moving away from cash as a society, and I don't know. I do have some pennies. Like, I have the jar of change. I haven't either added to it or taken from it in years, but I do know where the jar of change is.
Go cash it in at the grocery store.
I could cash them in at the grocery store. Yeah, I could cash them in at the grocery store. But no, Penny, and you do wonder, like, would Penny have been nicknamed Penny were he born today?
No,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's one of the last pennies who will ever be, I think. And then really maybe the lasting impact of maybe the shoes will be when we talk about the pennies most. Like you could still buy pennies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. You can. They're out there.
That's the only place you can get a penny. You can still use your pennies though. The pennies still work.
Yeah, but they're not being produced anymore. I did see the story though about it. The fact that it costs three pennies to produce a penny. Yeah, I can see why they're not producing pennies.
But the problem is that's also true of the nickel. The nickel costs much more than a nickel to make. So why do we have a nickel set?
Yeah, that seems backwards. That's why they're coming for the nickel next.
I still value. Okay, let me ask last question on this topic. If you were walking down the sidewalk and there were a penny, you would not stoop to get it.
No, I wouldn't.
If it were a quarter or a nickel, at what point?
Quarter. I think I draw the line at quarter. You can have the dimes and the nickels.
Oh, dimes? You wouldn't pick up a dime?
No, wouldn't do it.
Maybe that's the test that the people at the Mint should ask them. If it's not worth stooping over to pick up, we should abandon it, right? And so I think a lot of people would pick up a dime. I think a lot of people would pick up a dime. But clearly nobody would pick up a penny. So anyway.
Well, let's get to this. Is the Grizzlies' effort and you know the outcomes of these games, are they worth a penny, nickel, or a dime right this second? A 131-95 loss in the second out of a back-to-back last night against the Celtics.
It was pathetic. It was pathetic. I mean, it really was. And I mean, you know, we've been saying it all day on the station, and all the caveats apply. You know, they don't have a point guard, all that stuff. But that does, and Isolo said as much, it does not excuse the total lack of effort. They shouldn't be that bad defensively. The truth of the matter is, without Ja in the lineup, you know, without Ja, they should have been better defensively. You know, they got, I mean, Jalen Wells, good defensive player, supposedly.
Vince in the starting lineup.
Good defensive player, right? Cedric Howard, good defensive player. KCP, good defensive player. And Jaren, former defensive player of the year. That should be a decent defensive team. You know, not a team that's getting lit up like that, that's allowing, you know, allowing them to shoot 50% and then get, how many was it, a million second-chance points? Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a million, yeah. It was 34-12 was the final 34. Count, but a million sounds better. I mean, a million really encapsulates how
pathetic.
I felt.
I mean, it just was pathetic. And, you know, and then the question is, and there's no, like, everything everyone has said on the station today is correct. Like, there's nothing redeemable about them except for Cedric Howard, really. And it's not just that they're shorthanded. They do look like a team that is not bought in or a team that is not, you know, you can't argue that they're, this is the best version of themselves. The problem then always comes to, what do you do? And the answer is nothing. They're not going to do anything, nor should they really until, you know, ultimately they would. Like, there will come a time if you keep getting efforts like this and the players have come back and you still keep getting efforts like this, there will come a time they will do something. But yep. That time is not now. And so, you know, the beatings will continue, you know, is what it feels like.
Yeah, now, I think we've said this in other words on this station just about every single show, but Sam Vecenie last night, I thought, put out a good tweet, and it sort of, you know, confirms our beliefs, confirms what we've been saying. But this is what he tweeted out. He said, I think my biggest Grizzlies issue right now is that I'm not sure what they're hanging their hat on night to night. What's their identity? And then this is the question that got to me. What's the goal everyone is building toward together? Because, like, even, like, with what Tomas Isolo has done with the rotation, trying to play more guys, speed kills, like, what truly is at the end of the tunnel when they get healthy and they're playing at full speed and they're playing at full strength and you feel like they're executing the right way, what are they hanging their hat on at that point? Like, do you see it? Is it visible to you right now?
Well, nothing is visible. And so, I mean, I saw the tweet. I did wonder if it was in response to Isolo, because Isolo said, basically, this is no excuse not to play to our identity. And to which the obvious question
what
is
your identity?
What the hell is the identity? And it's one thing. Like, I think I know what he would say. He'd say a lot of things, right? But I think he'd say was, we play fast, you know, that's what he mostly would say. He'd say, we play fast, we're organized. He likes the word organized. We're organized, we play fast, and we're efficient, you know, whatever that is, something like that is what he would say. The problem is, it's like saying, you know, that my identity is a, you know, world-class triathlete. Well, I may say that's my identity, but there's no evidence that's true, you know, like, so what is an identity if you're just claiming it totally in the absence of any evidence that you are actually that thing? A wish is not an identity. So I think, you know, he'll tell you what he wants them to be, what he wants the team to be, but there is no evidence except for, like, fleetingly, you know, whatever. First half against OKC, like, whatever, but you can't have an identity built on 8 minutes of good basketball here or there, right? It just doesn't work. So right now, there is no, here's an identity.
Yep.
Two underachieving stars and confusion.
Yes. That's the identity right now.
Is the identity. That is their identity. Like, because at some point, you don't get to choose your identity. You have an identity. And the identity is a mash unit of a lineup with two wildly underachieving stars who are, let's be honest, not covering themselves in glory in the way that they are supposed to be lifting. Like, the lineup is the lineup, but you still have two guys who are supposed to be stars. And so they should be lifting this lineup. So the biggest part of this identity is two wildly underachieving stars.
Yeah, and you have to buy. But the thing is, you have to get buy-in from the stars before you get any type of results. And there's clearly no buy-in from Ja or Jaren at this particular moment. Now, what I want to ask you, though, really quick. And I know this is a projection, and it's not going to happen right this second. You're going to have to get some guys that are injured back and see what this team looks like at least close to full strength. But, you know, if you're projecting like how long the stay for Tomas Isolo is as the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, how do you feel right this second?
I mean, I don't think anything will happen before the new year, you know, certainly.
Well, yeah.
Could I imagine him getting fired this year? Yes, of course. Like, in the end, if once you get the players back, you have not just defeats, but continuing embarrassments, at some point, they pull the plug. That's just true. I think that would happen. I don't think it's anything they're contemplating now. I actually think they're probably, this is total speculation, of the big dramatic things that could happen, none of which are going to happen now. My suspicion is they're spending more time pondering a Ja trade than they are pondering a coaching change. This is total speculation.
Sure.
Total speculation. But, and I think they probably know that ultimately they might have to, you know, think about both. But my guess would be if they're over there just pondering it, I think my own suspicion is, well, hey, it's more important. Like it's a bigger decision because it's Ja, right? So maybe that's necessarily why you ponder that. But I think that would be my guess. My guess would be they're like, you know what? We've been dealing with Ja for this many years, and we're going to have to decide whether to give him a contract extension this summer. And so we're clearly not trading him now, and we hope he snaps out of his funk. And, you know, he's playing like garbage, but it's not going to help anyone that he's playing like garbage. So let's see what happens, and we'd like it to work out. But my suspicion is that they are, and we'll see what happens at the trade deadline with Ja, that is something that they are actually contemplating. And just wild guesses here, by the way. Whereas the Isolo thing, they're like, oh, come on, man. We got to get our guys back, and then we'll give them a fair shot. And so, but, yeah, I think they're probably thinking more about a Ja trade than an Isolo firing. That would be my guess.
Yep. Now, a Luka Doncic trade led to a firing on Tuesday, and we didn't get to really talk about Nico Harrison getting fired by the Mavs. But I just need a little bit of help from you, because I'm sure you've seen all of the various media members talk about it, give their take on it. Why is the word scapegoat coming up? When it has to do with Nico Harrison? Like, maybe you don't agree, but do you even see, because yeah. I'm having trouble seeing how you arrive at that conclusion, how people
Oh, I think they're misusing the word. If what you are saying is ownership had to sign, he did not do this alone, and ownership had to sign off on it as well. And so while he is culpable, clearly, this was his baby. Ownership is not blameless, and if that's what scapegoat means to someone, that the owners are throwing him under the bus because they're trying to avoid their own culpability. I do think the entire he could not have done that by himself.
Sure,
but that's scapegoat,
not what that means to me.
No, I know it's not what scapegoat means. You are basically blameless, and you're being used as the scapegoat, and that's just not what happens.
Like when offense stinks in college football and an offensive head coach is the play caller and they fire their OC. You know, that's a scapegoat
right,
to me.
A scapegoat is fundamentally blameless, and yet there is – and that is – so it is a total misuse of the word to call him a scapegoat. But I do think – see, I've seen different versions of that. I have seen people write he's not the only one to blame. And if that's where someone's going with this, I think that's true. Like, here's the truth. If you had been the owner of the Mavs and Nico had come up to you and say, hey, I got this deal cooked up.
Yeah,
I'm going to trade Luka. You would have said, screw you.
I wouldn't have just said screw you. I would have said some other things.
Right, yes. Yeah. You would have said, so there very clearly is more. There are more people to blame than Nico. But he is the one to blame, and he is under no circumstances a scapegoat. So I think the only one who would use it is people who struggle with the English language. is those people who don't know the meaning of words they could use scapegoat.
Yeah, and I just went back for funsies to see if I was missing something. Like after the trade was made, Nico had his various press availabilities. And here are the quotes that came out. "There's no regrets on the trade," was one thing he said.
Right.
"We believe in the move we made." And then he said, "We targeted AD." Like, it sounds like he was the brains behind the whole operation.
He was the engine behind the move, is my understanding of it. I haven't seen many people use the word scapegoat. I have seen people, like David Aldridge wrote a column saying, longtime NBA guy, saying he wasn't the only one to blame. And I co-sign that. I think that's true. But he was the engine behind it. It's funny because we were thinking of all-time worst trades, right?
Yeah.
And I was asking Chris about some other really bad trades, like the Brooklyn one for Garnett, and that, you know, there's been the one with SGA and Kawhi, and that's turned Oklahoma. Like, there's other bad trades in the history of the NBA, even recently. But as Chris said, this is the only one that when you saw it, you thought that Woj had been hacked.
Yes, correct.
That's how bad this was.
Or shams, It wasn't Woj.
Yeah,
it wasn't Woj.
Shams, you're right. Know that shams had been hacked. Yeah. I can't remember a trade where, upon hearing the trade, I thought it must be hacked, which is what we all thought. We all thought it could not be real.
Right, 100%.
Crazy, stupid trade.
Yeah. And then I Charles Barkley used the word scapegoat last night on Inside the NBA. And then he went on to say, and this really got, I laughed at this. He said, you know, Nico Harrison, it's not his fault. You know, he's had some bad luck with Anthony Davis being off the floor. Is that bad luck? Is that, I think that's par for the course.
The guy had the nickname Street Clothes. Yeah. You know, like
if I'm not mistaken. Right. By that set.
By Shaq, I think. I think it was Shaq who called him Street Clothes. So yeah, no, there's nothing bad luck. I mean, Kyrie injury was bad luck. There's been some.
But he's
bad
also
luck,
33. But, can we be? I mean, right. Things happen.
He this is truly appalling. And so he deserves everything he got. 100%.
Yep, for sure. Well, Jeff, appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
My voice is a struggle. I hope it's back by tomorrow morning. See you tonight.
Have a good one. He's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 every single weekday right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. You know, we just got done talking about Nico Harrison with Jeff Calkins, but there's a couple of more details that we've learned in the past couple of days about Nico Harrison and his firing and what was going on within the Mavericks organization. We got one from Tim Cato, who's a former athletic writer who writes for DLLS, which is a sort of startup, you know, publication there in Dallas. And he wrote that one team source recalled a document where Nico Harrison placed Drew Holiday within the same tier of talent as Nikola Jokic. You think they're in the same tier of talent, Connor?
No.
Yeah,
I do not.
I watched Jokic drop 55 last night.
I mean, Jokic is in, he is approaching, we might have to talk about top 10 all-time territory.
We're going to approach best center of all time territory if he keeps this up for more than...
If he gets another ring, it'll get interesting.
If he gets another ring, and if we have five more years of this type of production, last night was foolish. Like, absolutely foolish. 55 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 turnovers. First quarter, actually, 25 points, no turnovers in that time. Perfect from the field. He was 18 for 23 from the field, 5 for 6 from 3, 14 for 16 from the free throw line. The guy he's ridiculous. So, no, he's not on the same tier as Drew Holiday. Also, we learned from The Athletic that Nico Harrison was trying to force AD back onto the floor, even though the medical team was saying with his calf injury, the likelihood of a Achilles tear is way higher than it needed to be.
Yes.
So he was trying to force him back on
the floor. I would also like to point out to people, Nico Harrison traded for Anthony Davis, when Anthony Davis
was hurt,
he was already injured, and Nico Harrison traded Luka Doncic, a generational talent, for Anthony Davis, who, by the way, now in trade rumors that they may want to blow it up, if Anthony Davis is traded and doesn't play another game for the Mavericks.
Well, and they're going to get a terrible trade package
game
for him.
Lamar Odom would have played more games for them than Anthony Davis.
You said what?
Lamar Odom.
Oh, Lamar.
Fewer games than Lamar Odom.
I wonder what Lamar's doing right now.
Hope he's okay.
Yeah.
But that's how bad this is.
That's really bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Because most people listening right now probably went, I didn't know Lamar Odom was on the Mavericks.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Was that last stop for him? Or close to last stop?
I don't know if it was the last one. Here, let me.
I know he was bouncing around the end of his career. So, like,
that was 2011.
That had to be close.
Yeah, he ended up playing 50 games for him.
Oh, well. What was it? Do you have the stats pulled up?
Let's see.
Was he a stud? Was he great?
He played 20 minutes a game.
Oh, okay.
He averaged 6 points a game.
Okay.
2 assists and 4 rebounds.
Still, all in all, more production than what Anthony Davis has given them. So far. All right, now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. Trip around the National Football League is next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, hit it. How about this? This is not a drill, Connor. It's not a drill. Kyle Shanahan announced that Brock Purdy is returning to the field this Sunday, and he will start against the Arizona Cardinals. He's been out for 6 weeks with a toe injury. So maybe the 49ers are getting back healthy little by little. Here's the problem. Herein lies the issue. Brandon Ayuk could come back. George Kittle could stay on the field. Brock Purdy could be back on the field. And the offense could be clicking. That's fine. But defensively, I think we have to pay attention. Nick Bosa out for the year. Fred Warner out for the year. That's going to be their Achilles heel. That's going to be their problem for the rest of the season. No matter if they get in the playoffs or if they're on the outside looking in. It's just been a tough year for the 49ers from an injury standpoint, but they're getting a little bit healthier by the week, but they will not be full strength for the rest of the season because of Nick Bosa and Fred Warner's injury. All right, it's not been a good year for Michael Penix Jr. I think we all recognize that. The Falcons, Atlanta Falcons, sit there at 3-6, and through those 9 games, Michael Penix Jr., who's supposed to be a guy who just airs it out pretty consistently, we saw it at Washington before he was drafted by the Falcons, he only has 9 touchdowns in those 9 games, 9 passing touchdowns in those 9 games. And he was asked about his struggles and how he deals with it, and here's the quote he gave. At the end of the day, football isn't my identity. I'm a son of God. That's what I believe in. And I just walk by faith and not by sight and not by what other people are saying. So I just continue to go about my day each and every day just like that. That sort of reads and feels like the Jaren Jackson Jr., it could be worse, we could all be homeless quote, right? Like, it's never a good sign to see your starting quarterback have that to say about his struggles on the field. You know, I'm just putting my head down. Football's my identity. We're playing a kid's game. Tua Tagovailoa sort of had a quote like that earlier in the year. You don't want to see that from your starting quarterback when you want to win ball games down the stretch of an NFL season. Shout out to Rob Gronkowski. Signed a 1-day contract yesterday to officially retire as a Patriot. Now, where does he rank? Let's just go through at least the modern-day rankings of tight ends. Right? Is he? He's certainly up there with Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates. Didn't have as long of a career as those guys, but I still look at his peak as the top 2-3 tight end that we've ever seen in the National Football League.
I think if you're asking me to, if I'm drafting tight ends all time and I get them at the peak of their powers and they're healthy, I think I'm taking him number 1.
You're taking him number one.
I think
because,
so.
Because it's the blocking. Yeah. It's all of that. He could do it on the edge. He could do it in line. You could hip him off and let him go run. He could run routes with the best of them. One of the best jump ball tight ends in the history of the game.
And he was impossible to tackle.
Yes, very, very hard to tackle. But the injuries just caught up with him, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to be that physical for that long in the National Football League, but he did a good job of it. But he signed his one-day contract. He is officially retired a New England Patriot. All right, so after head coach for the New York Jets, Aaron Glenn made a fuss to Rich Cimini of ESPN, who reported that Garrett Wilson, star wide receiver, was going to be out for 4 weeks with a right knee sprain. You know what the Jets did? They put Garrett Wilson on IR, and he's going to be out for 4 weeks with a right knee sprain. I don't know why he made such a fuss about it. Like, I get gamesmanship and all of that, but when somebody gets a scoop on it and they are correct, you don't have to try to drag them through the mud in a presser. I just thought it was a strange way to go about it. But Aaron Glenn is, you know, a little crotchety. It's just sort of how he handles things. But, of course, what Rich Cimini reported was correct. So, in the end of the day, I don't think you need to try to do what you did in a presser to him. Oh, Rich has all the answers. He does, actually. Thanks for saying it. You know, I know that's not the tone that you're trying to use, but he was correct. Garrett Wilson is out for a foreseeable future with a right knee sprain. Lamar Jackson is back at practice today, so it's looking good that he will get going and continue to start going into the weekend. Let's just do a temperature check on where the Ravens are at. They're 4-5. They've won 3 straight. They have the Browns coming up this week, and then they have the Jets. Are they going to, in your opinion, get to over 500 in these next 2 weeks?
Yes.
I think so, too. As long as Lamar Jackson is out there and healthy and comfortable, I think they'll be over 500. And, you know, I think the Steelers are still pacing. They're 5-4, but it looks like the Ravens are going to ultimately win that division, even though they started 1-5. I'm not used to the AFC North being this bad, but it truly has been this year. All right. Cam Scadaboo, who's out for the year with, if you saw the ankle injury, don't seek it out, please. But he's out for the year. And he was doing a stream. I think it was on his stream, Connor, something like that. People are on Twitch. But he's asking the real questions. Cam, ask away.
Do you, like, turn your head to eat a taco, or do you turn the taco for you? Like, are you dominant to the taco, or does the taco, like, do you turn your head for the taco?
Dominant to the taco is crazy.
All right, Connor, this is a real question. This is a real question. We have to embrace debate here. Embrace debate. Do you turn your head for the taco, or do you let the taco dominate you and turn the taco?
Depends on the taco. I think it depends on the taco.
No. The taco dominating you would be you turning your head. But if you turn the taco, this is the answer. I think he's talking about a hard shell taco.
Right. Correct. If you're turning your head for a soft taco.
You can't turn a hard shell taco because then all the contents will fall out. But when you have like a white corn tortilla or a flour tortilla, there's no need to turn your head or anything. You can just sort of wrap it and eat
stuff.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put it in your gullet. I mean, it's not that complicated. But, you know, it's a fair question.
It depends on how much is on the taco.
But yeah, dominant. Are you
dominate tacos? Crazy.
Is the taco dominating you? It's a weird,
wild.
I know he's taking some hits. Yeah. Okay, but you know, we don't have to talk about.
I mean,
tacos
he got marble up there
you.
Just rattling around. Yeah, that's all it is now.
For real, man. It might be mush. I don't know. I hope not for him.
Yeah, Play-Doh for brains.
But yeah, I would
hell
say
of a football
with,
player,
but
though.
But to answer the question, with a hard shell taco, I turn my head. But if there's any other type of tortilla, if it is a soft tortilla, I am not turning my head. I'm not letting the taco dominate my...
If I am fearful of things falling out of the taco, I'm turning my head. If I think I can handle it without, I turn the taco.
And to be honest with you, I don't eat hard shell tacos.
I do.
You do?
I do. Well, okay. I don't eat more.
You have like white people taco night at the house?
No, I haven't had a taco since...
The old El Paso shells?
No, the food poisoning turned me off of... It's going to be a minute, I think. It's going to be a minute.
You can't... No taco. Not just like off Taco Bell,
I
which
haven't,
you should be off Taco Bell.
I have not like had Mexican Tex-Mex food. Since I had food poisoning.
But it's like a bowl.
Nothing.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. I'm gonna need a minute.
Can I be honest?
It's a mental hurdle.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's tough. It's real tough.
I am so sorry.
Because Bree loves Taco Bell too. So like, it's
who doesn't love like Tex-Mex or Mexican food?
I mean, it's devastating.
It's a staple. That's it's like twice or three times a week for me, brother. That is
chicken cheese rice was part of my diet.
That's brutal.
Now I am still doing. I still go and get my Las D chips with my queso. Okay. I'm still doing that.
Okay.
But I've had to. I'm going to return soon, but I needed at least a month off.
The idea of a tortilla wrapping meat in the tortilla, like that's a mental hurdle. That's going to be hard for you to
listen,
get over for
I get why guys struggle when they come back from ACL injuries because I can't even go.
It's the mental hurdle.
It's the mental hurdle.
It is. You got to trust yourself.
I got to trust it. I got to trust myself. I got to trust it.
And the process.
And I just got to jump back into it. I'll be okay.
I'm sorry to hear this. That is a tough, like cutting that out of your diet and your meals every week, that's a tough one.
Hasn't been easy.
Mm.
I'm brave. I know.
Yeah, you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You are. I'll give you that. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. Come back, get to small talk to wrap up. Hour number two of the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And small talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. First and foremost, I'm going to get to this. Baylor AD Mac Rhodes is taking a leave of absence for personal reasons. If you are sort of in tune to the college football playoff rankings, you would realize that Mac Rhodes is the college football playoff committee chair. So he's stepping down from that role as well. Now, what happened is still up in the air. We're not fully sure. Ross Dellinger reported that Baylor was made aware of allegations involving Mac Rhodes and is conducting an investigation. Now, these allegations are separate from the incident that occurred on the September 20th game against Arizona State, where it is alleged that Mac Rhodes went off on tight end Michael Trigg for wearing a yellow undershirt. So apparently they've put that investigation to bed. This is a new investigation. It was also added by Dellinger that these new allegations do not involve Title IX or any direct interaction with a Baylor athlete. So I guess we'll figure it out in the coming days what the investigation is into. But for the time being, Hunter Yurecek, the Arkansas AD, will take over as the acting college football committee chair. And they have added Mark Harlan, I believe the Utah AD, to the committee. So, a lot going on with the College Football Playoff Committee. That's worth mentioning. Now, while I was doing my doom scrolling last night, as I tend to do when I lay in bed around 10 p.m. at night, I came across a tweet from the dad of a Memphis football player that we are wanting to think highly of, A.J. Hill. Filled in the UAB game, did an okay job till the very end, then made some mental errors. He had the interception and then the false start there on the goal line. But he is a true freshman. He is going to redshirt, and he is the highest-rated quarterback recruit in the history of Memphis football. While I was scrolling, I saw his dad tweet this. And listen, I don't think we know exactly what's going to happen, but we can assume. We can speculate. Antoine Hill Sr. on Twitter last night on X. Sometimes you just have to go to a better situation. When they show you their hand, make sure you understand how they feel about you. That doesn't seem like a very positive thing for the Memphis football program.
Not great.
I could be reading into this too much, but I've seen a lot of fathers, Nico Amaleava, his dad, DJ Uiagalelei's dad, Big Dave. I see a lot of fathers take a massive role in their son's life in these spaces, And I've seen those fathers take to Twitter or to social media to air their displeasure pretty constantly. So I just wanted to put that into everybody's mental to get them ready, if it does happen, for a potential transfer that we weren't expecting. And what does frustrate me about this is the idea, if this does go through and A.J. Hill does get in the transfer portal, which I'm not saying he will, the idea behind this season when he came in spring was he was going to redshirt. They were going to hand it off to Brendan Lewis, who had a lot of starts under his belt, and then they were probably going to give him a more than fair shake to take over from there on and be a potential four-year quarterback here at the University of Memphis. But if he does transfer, it shows that maybe they got impatient with that plan. Maybe there's some things going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But it would be frustrating if the plan was for him to redshirt and he gets redshirted, and then on the back end they say that's not what we wanted ultimately to happen, and we feel mismanaged and you know, deceived.
It would also be different if Brendan Lewis wasn't really good this year when he played.
Right.
But he has been.
He's been the best quarterback in that room by far.
What did you think was going to happen? They were just going to sit him and play you because you were a high-level recruit?
Are you already assuming he's gone with this suite, or are you – I'm still going to sit here.
Wait till I see
some transfer portal thing come across the ticker, and hopefully it doesn't.
I got too much to worry about Memphis sports right now than him. I don't have enough room. I got the capacity for that. That's an off-season deal.
Yeah, I get it, but that's – we can admit –
I mean, it's worrisome.
Not a good tweet to see at the end of the season after you sort of get knocked out of.
It makes your eyebrows go up, for sure.
An American title contention.
Right.
Because you want a future for this program, and it seems like A.J. Hill is that guy. So, we'll see. Hour number three is on the way, and leading us off is the head football coach over at the University of Memphis. Ryan Silverfield is next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.